Okay, and welcome to the December 18th San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees meeting. The board met in closed session and we discussed pending litigation, San Luis Coastal Unified School District versus Jeff Edwards regarding Sunnyside rent default, anticipated litigation, and we discussed whether to initiate litigation regarding warranty on General Electric lights on the fields at Morro Bay High School and San Luis Obispo High School. Anticipated litigation, we talked about exposure to litigation regarding Los Osos water rights. We discussed a confidential student discipline issue. We considered waiver of the California high school exit exam requirements for a student with disabilities. And we public comment.
May I just make a quick student report for Pacific Beach
Absolutely.
High School, which as of just about 45 minutes ago was dominating SLO High School in a scrimmage for mock trial. Go PB.
We don't play favorites here, do we? Public comment. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address the board? And seeing no one, then let's move on to board reorganization, election of the president and the clerk. Would somebody like to make a motion for president? And seeing no one, I will... Mrs. Dickinson.
I would like to make a motion that we elect John Spadafore as president of the board.
And I'll second that. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. It's been moved by Mrs. Dickinson and seconded by me to elect Mr. Spadafore as president of the board for the remainder of 2007 and 2008. All in favor? Aye. Carries. Any opposed? Carries 7-0. Okay, John, congratulations.
Mr. President, could I we weren't gonna do without a clerk this year?
I'd like to.
Signing off now.
My first act is going to be to redesignate the timer.
And towards that end, I'd like to nominate Marilyn Rogers for clerk of the board.
Go ahead, John. It's up to you, man. You're the man.
For what? No.
Marilyn has been nominated and seconded for clerk.
Don't we do a vote?
Well,
discussion.
Say something. Can I say something about Marilyn? Oh, she did a great job.
And I just want to say I appreciate that we've got representation from town and representation from the coast as president and clerk, and I'm really thrilled that Marilyn would be our new next clerk.
So it's my honor to now ask that the board vote on the motion that was proffered by Ms. Dickinson and seconded by Mr. Unger. Mr. Buckman made the motion and seconded by Ms. Dickinson. All in favor of Marilyn Rogers being the clerk of the board for the next year? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And I just want to whine about still being at the kids' table.
I started to interrupt before, and I'm now addressing President of the Board, Mr. Spadafore, if I might have a moment. The multitasking is really knocking me over at this point. Well, anyway,
Dr. Valentine.
It's a pleasure at this time to recognize the service of our outgoing president, Chris Unger. Chris has been president not just for a year, but for probably a year and a half. Would that be right, Chris? Anyway, I know that I have had the pleasure of meeting weekly with Chris and with John as well, and look forward to continuing those meetings with John. And Chris, you're welcome to join us as well. But absolutely, yes, until we get to four. And I'd just like to take a moment right now to extend a small gift to Chris as a remembrance of his service as board president. I hope perhaps you will return again for another term later on. But at this point in time, please accept our appreciation for the past year and a half.
Business is the meeting dates for 2008. And I think that this is going to be presented by Dr. Valentine.
Thank you, Mr. Spadafore. What we're sharing with the board tonight is a schedule of meetings for the coming year. The shape of the board meetings reflects very, very closely what the board meeting pattern has been in the past year. We have a single meeting in January because of the holidays and the ability to prepare an agenda in January. We have a single meeting in July, I believe it is also, Kim, and a single meeting in August due to the summer breaks. Every other meeting is in the same Tuesday pattern. Single meeting in December, I'm sorry. And then the rest are in the normal Tuesday pattern that we've had in the past of two meetings per month. And offer this as a recommended potential schedule for the board and open it up for comment.
I was looking at this and trying to figure out how we could not meet on April 22nd, which is Robert's birthday. After all those cookies he baked, we have a board meeting on his birthday. But I didn't really see any good solution to that because of spring break and all, so I guess we can live through it. I was wondering about the September one. Is that so soon to... I just wonder from an administrative point of view, is that so close to when school starts on the 2nd? Would it be better for you to do the 9th and the 23rd instead of having a school board meet on the 2nd? Or is it important to have one that soon?
I don't think we're driven quite as much by the opening of school flurry for board meeting agendas as the sites are.
Okay.
Any other comments or issues? Does the board wish to adopt this? Okay. We might as well have a motion and to adopt.
Okay, I'll move adoption of the tentative schedule as proposed.
I'll second.
Moved by Ms. Rogers and seconded by Mr. Buckman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Sorry, Ms. Dickinson?
Can I have a question on... But the rest of the calendar is exactly the same, so I'm just curious.
May I?
Yeah, Mr. Yeah,
there's
Robert.
An extra day on the B calendar added to spring break, which accounts for the 183 teacher work days and 180 student days.
Okay.
Just want to make the board aware that the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association, which is one arm of deciding on the instructional calendar, and the board, of course, being the second one, has voted for the A calendar, and that will be brought to your January 15th meeting, and that's a fairly traditional calendar, and so that will be coming back to the board on the 15th of January.
Thanks,
Mr. Robinette. So the vote was taken, it was passed on the schedule. Next is appointment of board member representatives. We'll do this one at a time. Dr. Valentine?
I think so. These are the three committees that we have had traditionally over the years. There's one, the Central California Schools Financing Authority, who sits with our chief business official and superintendent in order to conduct business with Lucia Marr over a property issue that we have some common interest in. The SLO County School Boards Association is a group that's made up of members of school boards from around the county, and they meet rarely, but occasionally. And the Santa Lucia Regional Occupational Program Board, which has been of interest to several of our board members in the past, deals with issues that come before the Regional Occupational Program within our county. And you've met Jim Souza, who is the superintendent of that particular unit. So with that, the board may want to discuss who wishes to do what.
Thank you. I'll open it up to discussion, maybe do one at a time. Central California School Financing Authority. Is there interest on the board?
I would be willing to do that.
Okay.
I nominate Marilyn.
I second that. We have a nomination of Marilyn Rogers to be the school board representative to the Central California School Financing Authority in a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Did you have, okay, good. We're good. I think
okay,
we have 7-0. I thought we were having a last-minute surge.
So may I assume that Dr. Valentine or Mr. Miller will keep me?
Do we have any nominations or any discussion of that?
Yeah. I nominate Mark.
Okay.
Yeah, I nominate Mark.
Okay. I'll second that.
Well, Adrian did it before.
I'm nominating Mark.
Okay, well, we'll have discussion. Well, let's do it this way. We have a nomination in a second. Let's have a discussion now. The nominee is indicating that there may be an alternative to this before we vote.
I think this organization that we're talking about meets twice a year. They organize the two dinners, and I think it would be a good way for... I sit on ROP already, and I have another year to go. So if someone else is interested, I would forego this.
Okay. Do you have interest? Anybody else on the board? That would be something we just indicate.
I've done it before, and I'd be happy to do it again, unless you'd like to get your feet wet, maybe Catherine or something. I don't know.
I think you can fulfill it by next year.
Yeah. I was just saying to Adrian that I'm only here officially till November.
That covers it.
But you know what? They have a meeting in the spring and a meeting in the fall. The meeting in the spring is
to
plan the classified dinner, and then the meeting in the fall is usually to do the Teacher of the Year dinner.
So. Okay, good. I can plan dinner.
Yeah, I would withdraw my name.
Okay. And then, Ms. Dickinson, do you want to make another nomination
in light
of that discussion?
I nominate Dr. Catherine Eisendrath Rogers to be our representative to the County School Board Association.
We have a second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Any comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 7-0.
Mrs. Holmes really likes it when we make the motion and makes the second.
Okay. And just to make that clear, that motion was made by Ms. Dickinson and seconded by Mr. Unger. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And the last appointment is the alternate representative to is that a two-year term? To the Santa Lucia ROP Board of Trustees. So I'll open that up to the board.
I'd like to nominate Walter Millar to be the alternate for the Santa Lucia Regional Opportunity Program.
And I'll second that. So we have discussion. Mr. Millar as the alternate to the ROP Board of Trustees, and a second from myself. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 7-0. We have next on the agenda the audit report for 2006-2007. And I believe this is going to be presented by Ms. Lang, our Director of Fiscal Services. Thank you.
Hello, good evening. Our 2006-2007 audit is complete, and I'd like to say thanks to our very capable and competent staff. There were no material weaknesses found in our audit, and no findings or recommendations in this year's audit. In the 2005-2006 audit, all the findings have been addressed. We've offered workshops at all the school sites on cash handling procedures, and we also have five or six people going to a CASBO conference this January on the legal aspects and hands-on accounting for student body organizations. And then the auditors will do a follow-up testing on these findings in this year's audit. And now I'd like to introduce Matt Miller with Vavrinic, Trine, and Day, who will discuss the audit and answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Ms. Lang. I was going to ask, this is coming up later on the action consent agenda, part of the agenda. Do we want to ask all the questions now? And I'm sorry, I missed your first last name.
Miller.
Miller. And then excuse him so he doesn't have to stay for that part. Are we okay with asking all our questions up front? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Good evening. Once again, I'm Matt Miller. I'm the partner in charge on the financial audit of the district. What I'll do is I'll just point out a few things in the report and then talk a little bit about some new standards that we're going to be required to follow. When I say we, both the audit firm and the district sort of works together, but for the most part, it's part of our procedure that we have to follow. In the report, as mentioned, we had no adjustments to the financial statements as they were presented to the county and the state. So on page 49, the reconciliation to any funds, there was no adjustment. Also, as noted in there, we have the charter school included in the audit report, and there was no adjustments to the charter's set of records that they submitted in addition to the state and the county, which was very good. Glad to see that. In addition to that, we have four opinions, and as mentioned, as a deficiency or a significant deficiency, but you did not have any reported. We did have the prior year findings that were what we considered management letter findings in a separate letter attached to the back of the report. And as Julie mentioned, those have been addressed, and we'll be doing then again follow-up to those just to make sure. That's what we do is we rotate sites, and we don't always cover every site in the district. So we'll be managing that and making sure that everybody's following the procedural guidelines that the district lays out. So that'll be coming up in this year's audit. As part of the new standards that we're looking at, they're pretty much somewhat of a revolutionary change of going back to the very first standard on due professional care. And there's eight new standards coming into place. And the bottom line is we're going to be required to dig deeper, expand our sample size, assess risk differently, looking at risk and having continual discussions with management and documented in the work papers. It's a step up from what we've had in the past. It's going to be more on our part, but we want to make sure management is well aware of what we're looking for in making sure that there are safeguards within the district that, you know, help prevent weaknesses of controls that may come up on rotation of staff, you know, some kind of maybe a breakdown in a control over cash, over recording transactions. Those are all the things that is being emphasized in our work papers, and we have to document more from an audit side of it. So it's a standard that we have to follow, these eight new standards, and that's what we'll be working with the district on. We'll give information ahead of time, and I'll talk to Julie in a little more detail about it, and we'll be sending some stuff out in the letters just to make sure everybody's on the same page. So that's what's coming down the road. This year was just a little different. There was two new standards, and now next year is eight. So that's pretty big. It's a big change for us in our documentation process. So that's what we're looking at. Anyway, if anybody had any questions.
Mr. Unger. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Yes.
Sure. I did have a question. On page 32, at the bottom where we talk about custodial credit risk deposits, and the sentence says, As of June 30, 2007, the district's bank balance of $362,910 was exposed to custodial credit risk because it was uninsured and collateralized with securities held.
They pledge certain securities at the institution on behalf of public entities, but those pledges are not in the district's name unless you specifically have a collateralization agreement. So that's how what the language is saying, is that there is an exposure if the bank was to go under. Those are the levels over the insured amount. But once again, most banks have insured because they've set aside X amount percentage of their investments for public fund. And though, I mean, I've seen a case probably about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, the district got probably 60 cents on the dollar when a bank went down. And it was pretty much a cafeteria fund that had the bulk of their money there.
Okay. Thank you.
John.
Mr. Miller.
Is there any issue of the credit of these mortgage-backed securities?
No, I think the banks you guys use are very stabilized.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I just ask a question? Sure.
You know, the standards that you mentioned, who develops those? Are those like legislated, or how does that work?
Well, it's through the accounting standards boards. It's nationally. It's for all accounting firms. And those are standards that go back to, you know, day one of when the profession was put into place. So they're a national organization. And it doesn't matter if you're auditing a school district or if you're auditing a private company or a municipality. It's all, you have to follow those standards in your work papers. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Miller, quick question. On the recommendations that were made last year that were reviewed,
yes,
and none were found this year, do you review them for a 12-month period after making the recommendations initially?
Right. Yeah, this year was a little unique because what happened was the district conducted a workshop, and it was a date where when we came in, we actually were testing before that workshop was completed. So we wanted to make sure that not only that we tested it at that time, we're going to test it again. So that's why we noted it, that we will be doing additional follow-up on the ones that were this year. And it had to do with the timing of how the workshop and the training was done at the school sites. And if Russ wants to add to that.
One of our perennial findings on our audit reports has been the ASB accounts at the various schools. One of the tactics we've chosen for the last 2 years is to do an all-hands in service about the rules and procedures that they should follow in order to be in compliance with the proper rules. We've done that for, we've never really had a difficult compliance issue with our internal controls at any time in the past. But internal controls are limited by the amount of people and personnel that you can throw at the problem. The functioning theory behind proper internal controls is to separate duties amongst as many people as possible to prevent any kind of complicity between different people trying to subvert funds. So when you run out of people, you run out of the ability to separate those duties. That's probably going to be our biggest challenge with the new rules and the new findings and procedures that they're going to have to make in the coming years.
Thank you. Any other questions for Matt Miller, Mr. Miller there? I don't see any. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank
Miller.
You.
John, I do have a comment on the audit, though. On page 6, among the financial highlights of the year, I was particularly taken with the, let's put the fourth bullet down. For the second consecutive year, the district's workers' compensation insurance rate was reduced. 2006-07, the decrease was more than 14%. I know that most organizations like ours are working very hard to do this. Russell, is it at all possible to put a dollar amount on that on short notice? It's just a vague...
Yeah. I'll have to work from my imperfect memory here, but... I think that the reductions are equal to between $200,000 and $300,000 a year in reduced premiums. I know that we will also, we have a proposed workers' comp rate on the table now with our current carrier, and it is a further third year in a row reduction of also a substantial sizable amount. I do believe that one penciled out somewhere around $250,000 in savings on premiums.
Okay, and so this is money then that goes right back into the general fund. This
correct.
This is a savings. So this is money we get to spend on students instead of...
Essentially, correct.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Yeah, and you probably could correlate the experience, right, of claims, right, has decreased. Yeah, and that's usually contributed to awareness and, you know, keeping an eye on what people are doing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, thank Mr. you. Miller. Appreciate that. Ms. Dickinson, another question. Sorry, I spoke too soon.
That's fine.
Well, this isn't directly directed to you, but as a person who had to take advantage of the workers' comp in this district, I think the reason the rates keep...
And I would add to that Ms. Lang and Kathy Hunter, who was with us during when the work was done that this audit spoke to. Thank them for doing an excellent job. I don't know how many years it's been now that we've had really very clean audits. I mean, the things that come up are so minor. I feel very proud. I feel proud of fiscal services and proud of the district. And thank you for your hard work.
Thank you.
And I think Mr. Unger has a comment.
And I'd just like to point out that thanks to Mrs. Lang, but also thanks to Kathy Hunter, who worked probably for about 6 months on this.
And I think those comments kind of sum up the integrity that the district represents in terms of its financial commitment to the students and to the community. So thanks, Mr. Miller.
Very cooperative. Thank you.
Thank you. It's my understanding that at the time of this meeting, there was no correspondence. So we'll move on to approval of the minutes. And when someone's ready, we can have a motion to approve the minutes of the December 4th board meeting.
Move approval of the December 4th board meeting minutes.
We have a motion by Mr. Millar to approve those minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Unger. A motion by Mr. Millar, second by Mr. Unger. Any comments, conversation? I know Ms. Rogers has her light on. Do you? No, it's okay. You'll get called. Okay. 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 We're going to have an abstention from Ms. Roger. And if there's no other comment, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It passes 6-0 with an abstention from Ms. Roger. Now we'll... move on next to reports by school staff. Are there any reports to be made? Seeing none, we'll move on to Mr. Miller, Russell Miller, on the status of the state budget. Do you have some information to share with us tonight?
Not really.
Okay, moving on. Oh, all right.
You almost can. If the governor does as he's expected to do, call a fiscal crisis, this will happen sometime this week or shortly after Christmas, and the legislature will be called into session probably during the month of January and part of February to address this. If this is the case, a $14 to $18 billion deficit has such an implication for us in this current year, because the fiscal crisis will be called in this year, not for 08-09, but how are they going to address this year? The implication, of course, where 40% of the state's revenues are dedicated to education becomes a big nut for them to try and crack. Notwithstanding election year, notwithstanding the popularity of education, notwithstanding many of the items that people point to for reasons not to address education, the clear and undeniable problem is education takes tremendous resources from the state, and they have a tremendous problem to try and solve. So we're going to be looking at this item very carefully as the weeks progress. Mid-year cuts are something we've dealt with before. They are extremely painful. They have brought districts to their knees fiscally in the past. We will wait and see how that develops for our particular situation, as we are not a taker of revenue from the state of California. We have limited resources that we receive from them in the form of categorical programs. We may have to give back in like pain the same amount of money that a revenue limit district would have to give back, and we will have to look at that. That's what happened to us in the past. I will point out, too, that the state continues... Never mind, that's an editorial opinion. The state passed in the assembly a health care bill that has a $14.1 billion price tag attached to it that doesn't have any source of revenue to pay for it identified within the bill. So there continues to be legislative action of the type that put them into a fiscal crisis that we're going to have to continue to watch also.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Beckman?
Mr. Miller, does Prop 58 trump Prop 98? Does it force Test 3, or does it automatically suspend Prop 98?
No, not necessarily. What translates to $1 billion in the budget year 08-09. And it's a fact that almost more than $1 saved in this year translates to $2 in the budget year. So if they wanted to go deeper than $400 million in this current year, they would probably have to, this is not a legal opinion, so I'm not quite sure, but my understanding is they would have to find a way to suspend Prop 98 in order to do that. And then if they wanted to do $2 billion of cuts to education, they would have to find $800 million of cuts in this particular year. Very, very painful.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Unger.
Yeah, I would just invite anyone who has an interest in getting an opinion piece on the state of the state to refer to the Los Angeles Times from yesterday, which was the 17th, and look at George Skelton's column on the state budget crisis. And just about the health care, Russell, didn't the legislature basically, their approval was to put a measure on the ballot in November, I think. It's not a done deal yet.
The measure on the ballot, it's not a done deal because the Senate hasn't agreed even to take it up and look at it. But their bill or their measure on the ballot has to do with how to create the revenue sources to pay for this. They have this plan, which I don't think the details have been exposed yet, but they don't have any kind of revenue sources for it. So they got around that by saying, coming up in an election in the future, we will put a measure on the ballot which will identify the revenue sources for this, which would include such things as taxes on employers, different savings within the tobacco taxes and those kinds of things.
Other questions, comments for Mr. Miller? Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Russell. We've had a request to address the board on an item that's under the action and consent, and I wonder if it would be all right with the board at your pleasure to amend the order of business so we could move a public comment on item number 22 under action consent to now, if that's okay. No objection? Okay. So not to put any sudden pressure on you. And how do you pronounce your last name? So I don't...
It's Travis.
Travis?
Yes. Not
so
everybody
Terry
wants to
Travis.
Call me out behind the track, which is people park at the top, park off to the side out in Los Osos at middle school. It's actually kind of a... unenforced dog park, I must say. There's lots of dogs, lots of kids, Hispanics playing soccer there after hours. It's really very unenforced. There's nothing going on. And there's a dog that lives out behind that shouldn't run but does run, so has access to the field and runs down and plays with everybody all the time, whether they're kids. He just goes down and runs. He's crazy. So I was there in August 2nd, around 7 o'clock at night. I was crossing from the parking lot down the stairs and out to the backfield, right by where the tennis courts are. And I just wasn't really paying attention. And the next thing, I turned around, and my dog had stopped, and I kept calling her, and she wouldn't come. So I ran over. I have three dogs. She's 13. I've had her whole time. I ran over to where she was, and she was woofing down this stuff. And I was like, And it kind of caught me off guard because it looked like big snail bait. And I'm like, what is that? And it was in this tube that looked like a radiator hose about this big around, about this long, bent in a horseshoe shape, and wired shut. And out of it was coming this. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is that? It's got to be. And then I thought it's poison. The next thing I thought was it's poison. And I had no idea how much she'd eaten. I'm just glad I saw her eat it because it would have killed her overnight. She'd been dead. I would have woke up in the morning and there'd been blood coming out of every orifice. She'd have bled to death because it was a coagulant squirrel bait. I grabbed her. I pulled a person over to look at it, and he goes, just get out of here. Get to the vet. And I went to O'Reilly, who happens to be my vet, and he's an after-hour vet. I got there around 7:30, and they pumped her stomach, gave her charcoal slurry, gave her an enema. She's pretty old, and told her to be on K9 and for the next 30 days and watch her and see if it destroys her or not. I mean, if I hadn't seen her, she'd be dead. But I did, and she's fine. She appears to be fine now. 30 days later, we did a report. It was very traumatic for me. And I had two other dogs. I didn't know if they'd gotten into it. My vet is very insistent that I pump both their stomachs, too, because if he said, you're going to be sorry if they've got it the next day, they're going to be dead. So take your choice. So I went through the whole process with all three. And the next morning, I brought the dog home, and the next morning I made some calls, and I have a friend that does attached to the ground. So it was right out in the open. Any little kid could get to it. And it's tainted with some form of a molasses to draw you to it. So therefore, any animal that eats it, if another animal eats it, it gets it too. It is a coagulant. That's how they squirrel bait. So the biggest thing is that it was totally not contained at all. It was pouring out of it. I turned over about, I'd say, 10 cups of it to the Department of Ag. That's my story.
Oh, thank
you. Okay.
Thank you for that information. Okay. I appreciate that. We all do. Now we're going to move to the action discussion portion. Approval to pay board members' salary for permissible absence, item number 10. Mr. Unger?
I move approval of item number 10 to pay a board member's salary because of illness.
We have a motion by Mr. Unger and a second by Ms. Dickinson. Any comment? Hearing none. All in favor with an abstention? All in favor? Any opposed? It passes 6-0 with Ms. Roger abstaining. Number 11 is the rescission of the board action in submitting Chris Unger as a nominee to the CSBA delegate. And I believe this is going to be presented by Dr. Valentine, please.
Yes, the board, Chris Unger has been a CSBA board delegate for the past year, and the board nominated Chris for another term as delegate, but to our benefit in San Luis Coastal and to Chris's, I think, honor, he was selected by CSBA to be a regional director for our region. The result of that is that the delegate position for which we nominated Chris is now vacant again, and we need to rescind our nomination of Chris, which would then make the space available should another board member wish to put their name in candidacy and the board select it.
Does that mean then we have a joint action of rescinding and nominating?
Yeah, it's actually
two separate actions.
Actually, yes, the one doesn't require the second.
Okay, so I guess can we have a vote from the board? All in favor? Any opposed? It passes 7-0. Okay, now we'll move to the second part of this item, and that will be to determine if the board wishes to nominate another board member instead of Mr. Unger, who has now had his rescinded. So I'll open that to discussion.
I'll move nomination of Mark Buckman as our CSBA delegate.
So we have
here.
We have a motion by Ms. Roger to nominate Mark Buckman as the nominee for delegate. And do we have a second?
I'll second that.
By Ms. Rogers. Discussion? Hearing none, and thanking Mr. Buckman for his offer. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And thank you, Mark, for offering to do that. We have, sure, Ms. Dickinson.
Mr. Buckman, say hi to Jeannie Degger. She's awesome.
I see her on a regular basis.
All right.
Any other comments? Okay. The next item by Mr. Robinette involves the request by the Personnel Commission. No, by the Adult Schools, the first one.
Thank you, Mr. Spadafore. This item is actually the first of four items dealing with specific personnel recommendations, so I'll get comfortable and stay up here, and we'll take them one at a time for your discussion. These are all action discussion items, so the board is free to either act on them, approving or disapproving, I suppose, of them tonight, or you may bring them back for further clarification or revision at the board's pleasure. If I can just give you a gestalt for all the items in general, one of the common threads here is a look by some of our departments at efficiencies in our staffing patterns given changes that affect our human resources. And these are all classified positions. So given your recommendation, we will follow the rules of the merit system and the Personnel Commission in filling vacancies. And obviously, the overall budget horizon, as we know from Mr. Miller's report, is not a friendly one, but it is staff's belief that each one of these requests, though having a small budget impact in some cases, are necessary for eliminating overtime costs, creating more attractive full-time equivalents for recruiting and retaining the adult school. We currently have a 6.5-hour secretary clerk position and a 6-hour receptionist position. And it is our recommendation to change these to full-time equivalents, these 8-hour positions. In addition, one of the most successful programs in the adult school was the parent participation program, which over the past decade has grown from 18 to 65 classes. And over that time, we've had a 10-hour-a-week clerk, and the recommendation from the adult school is to increase that to a 25-hour-a-week position. All of the funds for these positions would come out of the adult school. There would be no effect on the general fund. And Mr. Halfman is not able to be here tonight, but I'm happy to answer any questions or discussion points the board has.
Thank you, Mr. Robin. Any questions, Ms. Dickinson?
I got this in our packet, and I want to say this is so impressive. This is a list of all the classes, and I actually read these.
Amazing.
Thinking, wow, I'd like to take this, and that looks fun, and all my extra time. But we have a phenomenal adult school program. It's just incredible. So I was very impressed. So congratulations to everyone involved, and I think we need to support its growth and success with adequate clerical services.
Thank you. But that was good.
I move that we approve the allocation of funds for an additional 0.25 full-time position for a receptionist and 0.1875 senior secretary clerk and 0.375 secretary clerk in the adult school.
As stated by Ms. Dickinson, do we have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
We have a second by Ms. Rogers to the motion set forth on the bottom of page 12.1. Any further discussion? Just a quick question, if no one else says. Mr. Robinette, the budget for the adult school is self-supporting.
Absolutely. No, there will be no effect on the general fund.
And they have a carryover usually every year in terms of their assets?
They do.
Okay. Any other questions or comments regarding that motion? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed? Passes 7-0. Item number 13, Mr. Robinette.
Thank you. This is another personnel request to augment an existing position to a full-time equivalent in our information services and technology department. We have two positions that are called student database. In the process of some of these changes, we also lost some hours that were given when we went to the CSIS system to kind of pilot it. And so we have literally a 1.5 position student database specialist and are really feeling the crunch in overtime and impact on the department. So the recommendation is to take the half-time position and convert it to a full-time equivalent and having two student database specialists. The overtime costs that have been expended would not, this would impact the general budget. It's hard to estimate. We have spent in that area a little over $9,000 so far this year in overtime costs, much of that having to do with the Power School conversion. But there would be a budget impact in this one, most certainly. But it's felt strongly that this is something that's necessary.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Robinette on that?
Yeah, I do.
Rick?
Or motions? Ms. Rogers?
Mr. Robinette, do you think, how many full-time techs do we have right now?
In this position, this is a database specialist. You talk about computer technicians or network specialists.
Four computer technicians.
I'll have to defer to, I should know this, but Amelia, she'll know it right off the top of her head.
And we have 1.5 specialists.
Data specialists and three network specialists.
Mm-hmm.
So that department has grown considerably over the last 5 years. We don't prognosticate that a great economic year is coming next
Correct.
Year. And I'm wondering, once everyone's really up to speed on Power School, do you continue to foresee the need for a full-time person in this position?
I do, and I say that because even getting the additional 0.5 position, I think we'll just barely be reaching a level where we're meeting the needs. And it seems as if the database needs keep growing as time goes on, and the district's goal is to do more data analyzation, disaggregation, and working with student data, not just with the student information system, but with assessment. And so they do lean on our department to assist with implementing new systems. And in fact, it's hard telling for sure. It depends on the needs and how our users get comfortable with PowerSchool. That has definitely had an impact, and it does take time for folks to learn a new system. And we do have turnover from year to year, so that means retraining, re-entering, and establishing new personnel in the system. So there are needs that continue to the turnover rate, in other words, with the training involved. So.
Can I help a little bit with that question? I would just like to
I'd love it.
That the department is a service department, and it answers requests from throughout the district for assistance in different areas. And it also responds to the state of California with regulations about reporting data from tests and just demographic information. The CSIS piece was we were beta testing it for the state of California, and in that process we were given a clerk through the grant money in order to do that. We continue to report to the state. We no longer have that clerk. That's one of those services that the department is asked to do. For Ed Services, we disaggregate certain data about testing. We pre-slug some of their testing the information sheets in order to put in the student's name and all of the technical pieces about that student. We continue to do certain services. So the long-term answer to the question is, if everything remains the same, we will be fully staffed. If things change, we may come back either to eliminate a position or add a position, depending.
I think we had a quick comment by Mr. Unger, then Mr. Buckman, then Ms. Dickinson.
I'm glad you explained what slugging was. I thought it was a misspell. I thought you meant slogging through the data, which is probably what the state intends us to do.
Did you get everything answered?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Buckman.
I guess I'm going to direct this to Russell. School services, just recently recommended to all districts because of the state of the budget to just hold off on making any fiscal commitments to anybody. You just warned us about the situation. Is it your sense, and could you assure the board that you feel comfortable with this item and the next item?
One of the primary focus of school services recommendation was to avoid making long-term commitments of a nature for which you can't find a funding source or may have a funding source for current work. And over time, if we staff this position, we'll avoid that over time and come close, perhaps, to saving the overtime money and funding a full-time position for continuity and consistency that would make the department a better performing department.
Okay. Ms. Dickinson?
It's so hard to really understand exactly what the needs are, but just I want a couple of questions. One is, how does our district compare with other districts in terms of personnel dealing with this kind of data management?
Staffing, yeah. I actually was recently speaking to the director in Atascadero, and she was telling me that they have three full-time student database techs. So I believe their ADA is around 5,000. So just as a comparison, we're about at 50% of what they have. So another big concern is just providing the additional support for our schools. I know we can't be as responsive as they would like us to be, and we'd like to be more responsive and be able to troubleshoot and help them with questions regarding the new program. So
when you're talking about troubleshooting, they're talking about, you are talking about getting used to PowerSchool. So
right.
That's
And SASE like previously as well. I mean, there were always questions. There are issues that come up. There are needs. And all of the support calls to the company come through our office so that we can see patterns and determine if it's a district-wide issue or if it's just specific to certain schools. And so the database techs that we have do the calling and the troubleshooting and working with the folks at the school site. So
it seems like programs like that are supposed to be like more efficient instead of causing more time-consuming problems. But I don't know. I just don't think we have these issues in AG with Aries. But anyway, the other one is, so this is, that's part of it. Is, and then the other part was managing all this data that we're now so enamored as an educational society with data. And as a teacher, I have to say that that data is not as useful. I know Dr. Mitakovich is, I'll have to give you a chance to pay, you know, have a plug for data, but in the classroom, you know, you get all these pages of so-and-so went up and down and all this, and how it really influences your daily lesson plans, because you're always watching the students and...
I think if you look at this just from an efficiency kind of point of view, we have number one that there was a halftime clerk that was paid for out of state dollars in order to bring on a particular responsibility, only to have those dollars and that position go away while the responsibilities continued. Number two, if we look at the fact that, regardless of how we feel about data, that the requirements for data and the necessity to process data are geometrically increasing all the time. And we add the third piece, that we're paying time and a half for people to do things that could be done in straight time. By purchasing this position, we reclaim the halftime position that the state had before. We eliminate time and a half, and we get an hour and a half of time now for every hour that... you know what I'm saying. I'm going with the math there. It just looks at this point that unless we're going backwards in the area of technology, this is an efficient use of district dollars. And while it's a small increase, I think, to the general fund demand, it'll pay big dividends in terms of our efficiency.
Okay. Mr. Unger?
I'm willing to take a chance on this and the state funding, with the understanding that if the funding evaporates and we have to look at cutbacks, which of course everybody knows we had to do before, that this and all positions would be looked at. And so I'll make a motion to approve item number 13.
We have a motion by Mr. Unger to approve item number 13. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second by Ms. Rogers. Any further discussion? Mr. Buckman?
I'm just going to chime in and again on this. We've got this item and the next item that are going to add dollars. And I'm just wondering whether we'd be safer waiting and to see what the governor's report is in January.
Any other comments before a vote on the motion? Mr. Millar?
Yes, on some level, we have to trust what staff is coming to us and telling us that they need. Budgeting is always an issue, and when money goes away, all positions are always back on the table again. But I think administration has made a compelling support for this position, or adding this half position.
Then we're being asked to approve.
Okay. Thank you. Now, any other comments? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We have a 6-4 and 1 against, and it passes. Item number 14, this is a further personnel request. Mr. Robinette will present regarding bus driver trainer work year.
Thank you. We have a position that is not unique to our district, but not you don't find it everywhere, which is a bus driver trainer position. It's very beneficial for us because the rules and regulations governing driver certification and CHP rules and recertification and retraining is very cumbersome. We have a bus driver trainer that also we take in employees who want to become bus drivers who are not certified, and we literally train them from the ground up in both classroom and behind the wheel training. We find that to be an outstanding recruiting tool for something that is very hard to fill. And we've also added, as you know, several positions in the bus driver ranks with our combination bus driver operation service worker position, which has been very efficient for us. The request here is not to change the hours of the day, but to extend the work year of the bus driver trainer from essentially being a 10-month or roughly school year position to a full-time, full-year position. This would be adding 56 days, about 2.5 months, so it is a full-year position. And we have found, looking again, analyzing the department for the last 5 years, as we've been pretty much spending that money in the summer by the people working anyway, because we find most of our training needs, or many of our training needs, are occurring in the summer when drivers aren't driving, and they're able to take that time. And so an analysis of the cost would indicate this is probably about a wash. We have been spending quite a few dollars on this over the course of the year, but the request here is to extend the work year from a 190-day year to a 12-month position.
Thank you. Ms. Roger?
I'll move approval of the recommendation to extend the bus driver trainer position to a 12-month position.
We have a motion by Ms. Roger on item number 14, and we have a second by Mr. Millard. Further discussion?
Rick, you mentioned that not all
of that, and then be giving up the resource at the end of it, kind of is contrary. So I think what we would rather do is be in charge with the training, entice as many people into our district as we possibly can, and keep them all.
Okay. But I mean, if somebody lived in the South County and wanted to be a bus driver for LCMR, and they don't, I don't know if they have a trainer or not.
The CMR does.
They do.
Okay, so Coast or
we would be unwilling to train. Yeah, we have in the past, and we would continue to train for a fee. Bus drivers for other districts.
That was my question.
Yeah, we would do that, of course. But our ultimate aim is to be honest and upfront about it. We're interested in training our own bus drivers, and should you come here for training, we have the idea that you'll stay with us. Sometimes it works. Most of the times it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
If I get trained, I'll stay.
Yeah, I know. It's
I got a job for you. We're always looking for them.
Step up. We have a motion by Ms. Roger and a second by Mr. Millar. Is there any further discussion? Hearing?
Thing.
Oh, Ms. Dickinson?
My cousin was on the school board in Pagosa Springs, Colorado for over 20 years and often the president, and he now drives the bus for the district. He retired from that.
No further comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It passes 6-1. Did you get the vote on that? Thank you. Now we have item number 15. Mr. Robinette continues, breaking a record for consecutive appearances before the board on one evening.
Thank you. This is one of those agenda items where we do our best to try to wed the actions of the school board with the actions of the Personnel Commission. As you are well aware, Mr. Spadafore, the Personnel Commission takes all actions regarding classified positions with regard to their classification review, their job descriptions, and even their recommended placement on salary schedules. But the board has the money. And so we have to seek approval from both agencies where there are fiscal effects. We are bringing to the Personnel Commission a staff recommendation. We're bringing it tomorrow, actually. That has to do with a classification review we just finished with the maintenance job families. We periodically, in fact, every 5 years, review every position, every classified position in the district in that direction. We have certain positions in the organization where we literally just have one person. We have one plumber. We have one locksmith, and they take all those responsibilities. In the review of the position, we have a Carpenter 1 that has been in existence without any Carpenter 2. And when we reviewed all the job descriptions, we realized they're really doing the position of the equivalent of, say, one of those sole practitioners, if you will. And so the recommendation in front of the Personnel Commission tomorrow will be to have the designation of Carpenter 1 just be Carpenter, and with that a range change on the salary schedule to a higher range because of that responsibility. It will have a budget impact, and the budget impact would be for the one individual. It is not all salary, it's salary and benefits, but the budget impact would be about $3,300 at the current rate, and it will affect one employee. And that's the recommendation.
Okay, thank you. And then comments, questions, Ms. Dickinson? No?
No.
Okay. Mr. Buckman?
I'm sorry. Rick, I was waiting. I actually had a question here, with the Carpenter 2, is there supervisorial responsibilities? You answered that question. You said
there would have been if we had one. We're recommending actually making this a Carpenter position as one entity.
But raising it to the pay level of a Carpenter 2.
It's raising it to the pay level of the same range as those that we have one individual, which would be currently locksmith, plumber. It's a different salary schedule. We have like one chief mechanic. So it would be at that one level.
All right. I probably misread. Thank you.
Other questions? No. Just for clarification, we would then as a board, if we please, then is support the presentation of this to the Personnel Commission tomorrow for action?
Yeah, your support would actually be saying that it should the commission agree to this, the money would be there. And they may or may not agree. They would have the same recommendation to look at in terms of the staff's recommendation for that.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion? Is there a question or comment?
No. Are we making a motion?
If you'd like to.
Well, I vote that we do. I would like to make a motion that we do support this idea.
We have a motion by Ms. Dickinson to proceed with this recommendation in front of the Personnel Commission and support it with the additional funding if the Personnel Commission so decides. Second by Ms. Roger. Pool number 17. Item number 18, approval of furniture and equipment requests. Item number 19, approval of purchase orders. Item number 20, acceptance of audit report. Item number 21, approval of waiver of California High School exit exam requirement for students with disabilities. Item number 22, action on claim against the district regarding Ms. Terry Trevis. 22 is pulled. Item number 23, approval of middle school and high school course offerings for 2008-2009. Could we have, Do we have a pull on number 23?
Yes, please.
We have a pull for number 23. Could we have a motion regarding the items not pulled, please?
Move approval of, let's see if I can get this right, items 18, 19, 20, and 21.
No, I think that's correct. Do you want to state those numbers again? That was correct.
18, 19, 20, and 21.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second by Mr. Unger. All in favor of approving 18, 19, 20, and 21, please indicate so.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 7-0. First item, number 16, I ask to be pulled only to personally, let me get to that page, recognize everyone who is leaving the employ, but specifically Ms. Judy Huelga, who I have known for many, many years, and this isn't to slide anyone else, but she's been a tremendous asset to the district, very helpful with so many projects out of the administration office, and for me personally, and I'm sure from everybody on the board, and she'll be sorely missed, and she's a wonderful person. We thank her years, 20 years of service. 22? Okay.
Hear, hear.
With that, no other comments, I move approval of item 16. We have a second by Ms. Dickinson. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0. And I think the next item was acceptance of donations.
That was me.
Okay.
Okay, that was me. And I just had a question about the last bullet on, and of course we are grateful for all donations received into the district and for the benefit of elementary resource classes.
Our standard is at least one.
So if they wanted to get a second one, it would be by donation?
That would be one way. The school site could buy it based upon...
with their SIP monies or whatever?
Yeah.
Or what have you? Okay. Well, I'm very appreciative of the Lions Club for donating that, and I just bring it up because I want to be sure that we don't get into have and have not situations in those classrooms. Okay, that said, I'll move approval of item 17.
We have a motion by Ms. Roger to approve item number 17. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second by Mr. Unger. All in favor? Oh, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0. And I believe the next item to be pulled is number 22. By Mr. Unger,
right. And I would just like to say that I appreciate Mrs. Trevis. I appreciate your discussion about the it not being an official dog zone, and I would not encourage people to bring dogs on any of our campuses. As we've seen, especially at Del Mar, we had a great discussion about a great and long discussion about that. That said, reading through the claim, it was very, very disturbing to me, and I would like to know what the district is doing to mitigate the causes of what appeared to me to be improper placement of poisons on our school campus.
One of the things we've done is we looked at the practice that we've had for years in terms of putting down squirrel poison, and we had a review by the Agriculture Department. And we were not in compliance with current law. We did not have manufactured bait traps that were secured to the ground. We immediately went and collected all of the bait traps that were around. We disposed of them in terms of them being the homemade variety. We have purchased the correct manufactured bait traps. We have been inspected twice by the Ag Department. We have been found to be in compliance with all state rules and laws at this point. We have never recommended the payment of a claim against the district. This is a first. And that recommendation for payment of a claim is representative of the idea that we were not in compliance on this particular issue. We regret accordingly. I think that we will find that in the future this is done according to Hoyle.
Mr. Buckman.
Thank you, sir.
Russell, one of the things that most concerned me about this was that the product is clearly labeled not to be used in locations where there are children and pets. And have we changed the product that we're using?
We are now in compliance, and I believe we've changed that, but I'm not 100% sure. Because the warning label said not in front of kids, then obviously if we're in compliance, we've changed the product. That's going to be my assumption until I know otherwise.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Other comments, or do we have a motion?
Just one more question. Is our maintenance, I believe it's either our district maintenance and operations person, or is it our safety person? Are they supposed to be licensed pest control applicators or licensed?
There is a training process that the applicators must complete and understand. Those people who do that piece are now trained. I'm not sure that they're licensed in the true sense of certification, but they are trained. I would also like to say, for the interest of the public and our school sites, it is not our intent to allow dogs or pets upon our school grounds. It's very troublesome to have pets running around the grounds, not because they're going to be poisoned, but simply because they also present a health hazard to our kids. So while we have this opportunity, we're not making the point that, you know, the dogs shouldn't have been there. I mean, clearly dogs shouldn't be on school grounds because they bring a lot of problems with them. But we have no good excuse for what happened, and we've taken steps to correct that.
Thank you. Any other questions, or is there a motion on item number 22?
I'll move item number 22.
Do we have a second?
A second.
We have a second by Ms. Rogers. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0. And I think the last item regarding the high school course offerings was also pulled.
Yeah.
Mr. Buckman?
This is really quick. And I'm sorry, please? No, I was just looking at the high school. I think Walt wants to talk about the middle school, but I'm...
No.
Okay. In the high school... course offerings. When I looked at the technology course offerings, so at this point, I'm sorry.
What kind of certificate would they receive, Mark? I don't know what.
I'm sorry.
There are students that are graduating from high school with, I think it's Cisco network certification, that from high school are making $35,000 to $45,000 out of high school. And so if we're going to go to the effort of offering these classes and take them right to the edge, I'm not sure why we just don't let them go for the certification. And I don't know what that takes, and I don't want to make, you know, but I know that other high schools in the county are offering that. They take this class, and then they take the student through the process of going for the certification. So it's just an idea for the future. So at this point, I'd like to move...
We have another Ms. Roger, and then we'll make the motion.
I just wonder if Dr. Valentine or Dr. Matakovich, you could speak to that.
Thank you. If you look at ROP Computer Service Technology, this... Oh, it's not on?
No, you're on. What page is it on?
13,
okay,
please.
Okay, thank you.
And that course... is a part of our articulation program with Cuesta College. And though, as it states here, certification is not part of the course, it does cover the essentials, and as well, the students are able to take that exam. So we appreciate the comment made, because we are in collaboration with Cuesta College, and we want to send our students prepared to be able to be certified. So in that one ROP course, we have it, and thank you for pointing that out.
Ms. Roger, did you have another comment?
No, I thank you, Dr. Matakovich.
Mr. Buckman?
I'd like to move approval of this hard work that the staff has done.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Buckman and a second by Ms. Roger. Any other comments?
One more quick thing.
Ms. Dickinson?
Just want to say a word of appreciation to Rita Delka-Scamp for all your good work. Thank you.
Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0. Let's move on to the consent. We got that on to the advance agenda. Excuse me. You're welcome. Good night. Board, have any comments on the advance agenda? Any discussion? Did you want that in what form, Friday packet or agenda item?
I'm willing to start it out at Friday packet and see where it goes.
Okay, and I have an interest in that also in supporting Mr.
Thank
Buckner.
Thank you very much.
Does that request provide enough information?
I guess I would just seek clarification. You're looking for how community service works into high school programs and other places? Or?
No. What I'm looking for is community service is a tool for students. In the high school, and I'm a student and I come into the counseling office and say, I'd really like to do some community service. Where do we send them? How do we direct them? What's the criteria that we use for determining a place that's both good for the student, safe for the student, and works as community service?
I haven't heard that.
And then there's other options within the scope of what the board does and what the district does, where community service is an option, a tool to be used to help students or for students. And so, how do we determine that? How do we get at that? And again, it comes down to criteria.
Thank you.
And then I would also, if it's all right, Mark, is add to that if a list is developed and provided, that it be done with an eye towards obviously benefiting students who are coming through the system or situation that Mark discussed, but also as options for the board during hearings of expulsion regarding community service that may dovetail into the direction to change a course of action, and also to develop a guideline. If there is any community service that is available, that we make sure that safeguards are in place regarding state and federal law with fingerprinting, et cetera, regarding a system or a charitable non-governmental organization.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mark. Any other comments from board members on advanced agenda items or agenda items? We have Ms. Dickinson and then Ms. Rogers.
Did you want to go first?
Oh, yeah.
I know we've brought up solar power before, but I was talking to this group, it's NECA Los Angeles and IBEW Local 11, expert installation and finance assistant for photovoltaic analysis of your district, of whether or not it would be, whether light hits your school right, so it's going to be generating the most electricity for you. This is solar power industry manufacturers, developers, contractors, and electricians from throughout the USA and the world who regularly attend photovoltaic classes held by this outfit at their premier higher education facility in Southern California. And I'm going to pass this on with business cards and everything. It has financing and the electricians and everything. Because I think these people we were talking to, I think I mentioned this last time, were saving like 85% of their former bill after 5 to 7 years. And just looking at global warming, I hope you all heard Al Gore's speech, by the way, in Oslo. That was inspiring. But I think that we need to look at this not just from saving money, but from being helping out in this whole situation of global warming. So I'd wonder if we could... I don't know if we just need to let you look at that and get back to us or what.
Let us take a look at it, and maybe we could put a response in the update to it.
That sounds good.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Rogers and then Ms. Roger.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I don't care.
Oh.
I'm...
Okay, Ms. Rogers.
Okay, thank you. I know that we'll have an opportunity under information to... commend Morley High School for being in the among the top 1,000 high schools in the country as determined by the U.S. News and World Report. But I bring this up now because as I spoke with Mr. Zotovich about that honor that our high school has received, it also raised the question about how we could do more. Morobe High School is in the top 5%. But what are the high schools, what are the districts that have high schools in the top 100? What are they doing? And some of those high schools are actually in California, so they're struggling with the same financial issues that the rest of us are struggling with. And many of them are open enrollment. So I'd like to ask in the Friday packet if we could... unfortunately, the article that was in the Tribune was very brief, and even what you read in U.S. Actually, what you see on the internet is rather truncated. But if you look in more detail, we could get some information about what some of these high schools are doing, and maybe borrow some of those ideas to raise all of our efforts in that regard.
What we've found in the past is that developing study sessions can take a month to 2 months, and that's fine too. But I think it's receiving the information you're asking for is a good starting point.
Okay, and then Ms. Dickinson.
Did it say what's the criteria? Was it like how many AP classes, or did it say that's something
that's
different?
One of the things we could look at.
Who is it that does that one? There's some.
That was one of the criteria.
It is it?
Yes, that is one of the criteria.
Okay.
This one had a little broader sort of criteria than the typical 100 best high schools, which was very much of just a count of the AP classes that were offered. This included test scores and subpopulations and those kinds of effects.
Thank you. And Mr. Unger.
Yeah, I didn't see this, and perhaps I missed something, but I would still like to receive regular updates on the program transfers for special education, and I'd like to know how often I could expect those.
Dr. Valentine.
I don't know the answer.
Could we see those once a month? Or I have an interest, and I don't know if the rest of the board has an interest in following up on that, but I think It is significant, and I would like regular. I would personally like to see regular follow-ups on that.
And we're talking about at a board meeting.
I'd be satisfied in a Friday information as well.
We can do that regularly.
Okay, thank you. Any other? So we'll move on to any reports by either board members or administrators.
Just Mrs. Rogers, I got to get used to it. Mrs. Rogers and I were fortunate enough to attend both the band and choir concerts that Morro Bay High and Los Osos Middle School put on last week, and they were really wonderful.
Terrific.
And Mrs. Dickinson was at the band concert as well, so that was great.
Thank you. Any other items of someone wants to report? Mr. Buckman?
I wanted to just, again, thank the district for hosting the countywide PTA Reflections Contest. We had this room filled with art. We had art from Morro Bay High School and San Luis High School, as well as from the elementary schools around the county. We had 50 parents and their kids come through and see the art. And it's a great venue, and it was a real good opportunity to showcase the art. The other thing is I did attend the ROP meeting on our district's behalf in Shandon. The drive was longer than the meeting.
Board members, staff members, seeing none, may there be a motion to move on?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn, second. All in favor?
Aye. Walter.